international affairs and foreign policy have always been interesting for a number of reasons, but their intellectual interest is probably greater at the moment than at any time since the post-war world was created between 1944 and 1948. For a long time, when we had a clear, simple world of more or less three blocks, the East, the West, and the Third World, we were faced with really two intellectual problems only. The first was to see clearly what was going on and to respond intelligently to it. And what was going on, of course, was the attempt by the Soviet Union to increase its power in the world in advance. And secondly, to persuade J.K. Galbraith, Seward Beauer, Jimmy Carter, and others that Brezhnev, Andropov, and Chernenko were not Gorbachev, who hadn't yet arrived. And that their idea that the Soviet Union had already reformed and was already being conciliatory, peaceful, and reforming itself internally was not true in the 60s and the 70s, and indeed in most of the 80s. Now, only Alexander Kober upholds it's interesting, I think, to compare today what the Soviets are saying about the Brezhnev period with what liberal American Sovietologists were saying about it at the time. It's only Alexander Coburn today tends the lonely flame of Brezhnevism in the pages of the Wall Street Journal. and is now reduced to explaining that the Soviet attacks on Stalin are anti-Soviet slanders and that he really only killed a few hundred thousand people. Well, the world we live in is altogether more complicated and difficult for us to deal with than the world we've lived in most of our lives, with the rise of the newly industrializing countries in Asia, with the development of Gorbachev's advancing foreign policy, offering on the one hand apparent concessions on arms in Afghanistan, on the other hand attempting subtly to destabilize Western Germany and its membership of the NATO alliance, with the rise of the European Community and the onset of 1992, with all that it means in terms of Atlantic tensions, increased Atlantic tensions, and then a thousand other ways. Now, we're extremely fortunate in having five distinguished speakers who have done a lot of thinking on exactly these points before us today. They are in order of appearance, because we've slightly changed that order. Mr. Gerald Frost, Mr. Richard Allen, Mr. Manuel Ayau, Mr. Jeffrey Gaynor, and Mr. Robert Chandler. And because there are five of them, it behoves them not to speak more than 10 minutes each, and certainly not more than a quarter of an hour. And that will then enable them, you to put questions to them, and then to argue out their differences at a later stage in the morning's proceedings. So I have to appeal to them very strongly to keep within the limits of 10 minutes or at the very extreme quarter of an hour. If they do not do this, I will be sitting down there and I will bring the constitutional proceedings to a halt by walking out. Now, the first speaker, as I've mentioned, is Mr. Gerald Frost, who's well known to Americans because of both his lectures in the United States and his occasional articles in the Wall Street Journal. Mr. Frost, an old friend, is a philosopher by training and a journalist by trade, and make of that what you will. But he made his first important impact on the political scene in Britain between the years 1974 and 1980, when he was the secretary of the Centre for Policy Studies. That was the think tank established by Margaret Thatcher and Sir Keith Joseph to lay the intellectual groundwork for the political and economic revolution that she has carried out since entering office in 1979. Mr. Frost was a key figure in those early days in which Thatcherism was actually constructed, theoretically. Since 1980, he's been a director of the Institute for European Defence and Strategic Studies, which is in an area of think tanks in Europe, think tanks and learned bodies devoted to the study of international affairs, the only really sound one. As somebody who has benefited from Mr. hearing Mr. Park on several occasions. It's a great pleasure asking him to address us on the question of the situation in Europe.